Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. It's festival season in Northern BC, and today I'm speaking with an organizer of Valhalla Fest, which takes place in Terrace this weekend, and it actually, in fact, starts tomorrow. I'm speaking to organizer Aaron McPherson, who's also one of the founders of the festival. Then I'm speaking with Marion Rose on the Performers Committee of the Midsummer Music Festival, which is taking place in Smithers at the BV Fairgrounds the following weekend, which is the long weekend. And Midsummer is celebrating its 40th year this summer, which is very exciting. So Marion is on the news to talk about some of the programming and what the 40th means and reflecting a little bit on her time with the Midsummer Music Festival.
Marion Rose.
Okay, so we're here talking about Midsummer, and it's a big one this year, the big 4-0. Can you tell me, I guess, just about some of the headliners and performers that you're most excited to see?
So our biggest headliner, of course, is Alex Cuba. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited about that, not only because Alex is going to be there, but his father is already here, is here visiting from Cuba. His parents are here. And as a bonus, his brother Adonis will be here as well.
Performing with them?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
so it's quite exciting. So the whole feel of the festival is a family reunion, mm-hmm. because of it being the 40th anniversary, and also just because there were so many opportunities for reuniting families. And so we've got, for instance, Mark Perry, who, you know, just everybody loves him in the valley here, mm-hmm. and his daughter Marie has made quite a splash in Toronto in the last few years, and mm-hmm. she'll be here with her MIP Power Trio.
I'm personally very excited to see that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great. And just as much as in the kids area, the Scouts Honor has three sisters singing in it.
Yeah, that's true.
And you drumming, as I understand.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, it just seemed to all come together. The Ecclestons mm-hmm. have a brother-sister in them.
Cool.
And then, of course, there's things like families that fly the coop. So there's people who grew up here and are now gone off to, you know, professional careers in music, like Jenny Lester and Erica Ma, Jake Jenny is still here, but, you know, people like that who have professional careers in music now, who grew up here. And then there's others who either just showed up here and spent some time in their 20s or 30s or something and became involved in the festival and became involved in music and discovered their love for music. Oh, I just remembered Tobin Frank is going to be here as well. He grew up here. And then there's people who kind of tripped and stopped here, like Naomi Kafka and mm-hmm. Michelle Beauregard, who they've found a place for themselves here musically.
Right.
So the First Nations are really quite well represented this year. We've got Kim Gucci from Prince George and Saltwater Hank from mm-hmm. Prince Rupert. And, of course, Ekhaya Hosley. The Coastal Drifters from Kitsalis,
nice.
To which they call themselves Res Rock. And of course, if you're not on stage performer, you can always come to a jam session. We've got a gospel sing-along, we've got a harmony sing-along, we've got a blues, and there's fiddlers all over the place that will certainly be jamming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's quite exciting as well.
So you were involved in the first couple of years of the BVFMS. Mm-hmm. I guess, can you talk a little bit about your personal journey with Midsummer and the Buckley Valley Folk Music Society as well?
Sure. Well, I was living here when I was a sweet young thing. I think I turned 30 at the second festival or something like that. And I had been to festivals in the South and in the States and stuff, and I just loved the whole mm-hmm. folk festival scene. And we went to, there was a bluegrass night at Driftwood Hall, and I came home that night and I thought, this valley needs a festival. I wonder who could help me organize it. And I picked up the phone. I thought, Kevin Whedon could do that. And I picked up the phone to phone him, and his line was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was phoning me with the same idea.
No.
Yes. So Kevin and I were kind of the two main folks in the first 3 years. There were others, like George and Norma Stokes, were involved right from the very beginning. and you know, others who are no longer with us were involved right from then. And then one thing and another, I left, and I was gone for 32 years, and I came back almost 5 years ago now, and I seem to be kind of swimming in the waters again.
How, if people want to buy tickets, or if they want to find out about camping, what's the best way for them to contact or get that information for themselves?
So that information is on the website, probably Facebook, but I don't do Facebook much, so I'm sure it's all there. Mm-hmm. Tickets you can buy online, or you can buy them at Mountain Eagle Books. Yeah.
Personally, I love buying at Mountain Eagle Books because then you either see Dean or Janet, and it's always a good time.
And you get to smell the chai tea.
Oh my God, I know. Looking at the 40th year, so what are some of the conversations about the importance of this festival? I mean, you said it's about, you know, kind of reuniting families as well, but the last 3 years were some very weird years to try to plan to get people together. So what's the feeling, and what are some of the discussions that are being had?
Well, yes, the last 3 years were, and some of the people who organized those years, unfortunately, put all the work in and then had to cancel. I mean, my heart just goes out to them, you know, all that work. And but we've been lucky enough in the last 2 years, cross our fingers that we're actually going to get a festival this year. But lots of things, partly celebration, partly joy and pride and that kind of thing, but also just concern, because many of the people who are organizing at a high level very intensely are my age, and I'm going to be 69 this year. So are many, you know, people who were in from the beginning, and that has its positive sides. You know, we have a certain viewpoint, but the negative, that we have a certain viewpoint. And so if the festival is to survive, it needs younger people to be involved. And there are some. There definitely are. Just looking at, especially looking at who's coming back this year, there's just a real pride. Like almost every time you turn a corner or read something, you think, oh, wow, that person's coming. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that person. I remember that person the first time they ever got on stage. I like to say over and over again that it's not magic that there is all this good music in the valley. It's years and years and years of hard work and nurturing.
Yeah. Just kind of going back to that, you know, the next couple of years and people volunteering, because this is a volunteer organization. It's a volunteer-run, 100% volunteer-powered organization. Yeah. Is there something that you want to let people know who are listening, or a way that you want to get people involved who are, I'm not going to say younger, but the next generation of people to get on the board, performers committee, helping out, becoming a coordinator?
Well, I think I'm going to come back to family, because it really does feel like a family, and, you know, and for the positive and negative sides of that. Mm-hmm. I just encourage people to, you have more fun at a festival if you're involved. Mm-hmm. Like if you can roll up your sleeves and do a little bit of time in the first aid tent or at the gate or washing dishes in hospitality, or, you know, if you have some special skills, you can help build something. And you will be treated well, and you will be welcomed with open arms. And it's just a wonderful way to feel part of it. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll be contributing to that nurturing that I've been talking about, that I feel is so important.
Yeah. Marion, is there anything that I didn't ask about that you think is important for listeners to know?
The kids area is going to be, it always is wonderful, but it's going to be even more wonderful this year. We have not one, but two puppet groups.
Ooh.
And one is this group from Vancouver Island that we tried to get them last year, but they couldn't come. Mm-hmm. And so we were happy to get them this year. And I've just, from what I've seen of their shows, they're quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we've got Eric the Juggler back again.
I was going to ask about him.
From Burns Lake, and he had a great time last year, so he was happy to come back. And then, again, we're having the instrument petting zoo, in quotes.
Okay, yeah.
So Jordan Daville and Katarina at the who are part of the Smithers Community Band, and Jordan's at the high school as well, they bring just a carload full of instruments and kind of show everybody what they all do. And you can come and you can, a few people will get to actually try to toot on a trumpet. I'm going to bring a few of my accordions, and people can try an accordion, and who knows, we might be able to get somebody with some strings to come. And so it's just an introduction to musical instruments, and We did that last year as well, and it was really fun.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. See you at the festival.
Yeah. Super busy time.
We are. It is so busy. We've only got 2 days left before the festival kicks off at 2 p.m., so we're all, like, very excited for Friday, and it's going to be great.
Oh, okay, so it starts Friday at 2 p.m., so what?
Yeah.
What's some of the daytime programming that you're doing on Friday?
So Friday, we're music starts at 3 p.m. officially. We're going to have kind of some small opening ceremonies and our land acknowledgement at like 2 p.m., 2:30. And then we're going to have music kickoff starting with Drax, who is a local terrace DJ. And then we're going to go straight into the night, and we're going to have music from 3 p.m. until 6 in the morning on Saturday morning.
So for people who haven't gone before, can you describe Valhalla Fest? And not necessarily getting there, I can get into that later, but just the actual festival, what to expect.
Yeah, so Valhalla Fest is a music and art festival. We primarily focus on EDM music, but we do also have acoustic music. We have an entire stage dedicated to acoustic music on Saturday from 10:30 until 5:30. And we have large-scale art pieces as well as small art pieces. The goal is to really encourage people to make art, whether that's music, whether that's physical art, whether that's, you know, making poetry, just inspire people to find what really drives them and make the art. Because at the end of the day, half of our festival is about art, and we want to encourage people to make their own art and either bring it or take it back with them into their regular lives and just spread that kind of amazing community back to where they are.
Can you kind of describe the overnight staying situation as well, and maybe how close camping is to the music?
Yeah, so we have multiple different camping sites. We have family camping at the very front next to our gatehouse, and that's our quietest camping. We encourage kind of families with small kids to camp there because it's close enough to the gatehouse. If they have any questions, there's like flush toilets if they need it. And it's right next to where security is based, so if anything happens, they have full access there. There's loud camping, which is very close to the stage. It's only like a 500-foot walk from that camping to our night stage, which is Asgard. We have camping next to Leaf's Beach, which is our daytime electronic music stage, which is down kind of next to the Zimacord. And then we have brand new campsites that we worked on this spring right next to our acoustic stage up on Agaha and the road that kind of follows behind Agaha, which is what we've dubbed the Coca Valhalla, if you will. We have areas designated for RVs. We've got spots for people who want to be in tents. It just kind of depends on what you're looking for. If you want to be in, you know, the old growth tree section, there's campsites, you know, underneath these gorgeous large cedars. If you want to be out near the field, there's brand new campsites for that. If you'd rather be kind of next to the river, there's Thor's Elbow, which kind of melts the big cedars next to the river with these gorgeous views of the valley. And if you want loud camping, you can be right next to the stage. If you want quiet camping, you can be far enough away where you can't hear it very well. And you can just go to sleep, be lulled by the sounds of like the frogs and the river rippling nearby. And it's just whatever you want to, however you want to camp. It works out great.
So your festival is held in an old growth forest. And we've spoken before about just the kind of, I'll say, green systems in place and environmental plans that you have to really respect the land that your festival is on. So can you just maybe highlight what some of those systems are in place that you have?
Yeah, so when it comes to camping within the old growth, we try not to clear too much space. So usually camping in and amongst the trees is a little bit tighter and a little bit more community-based, if you will. You know, you're definitely encouraged to be close to your neighbors because there's not a lot of space. The areas next to Agaha were an old cut block that were taken down from many, many years past. And so we've just cleared that space because there was nothing really growing in there besides some raspberry bushes. And that's the space that we've cleared. We do our very best to respect the trees that are here and not remove anything unless it's already dead or if it is creating a dangerous situation that could harm the trees around it. And like, for example, we had an amazing windstorm the other day, and unfortunately we had an old hemlock fall, and it turns out that it was completely rotten down the entire center of the tree, and it fell in one of our campsites, and it took down another tree next to it. And so our plan is to always make sure that the trees are healthy, they're respected, they have strong roots, and we're not, you know, moving things around that would damage any root systems or discourage any growth or kind of ruin any new growth that's coming up, and making sure we're watching out for any of the older trees that may be dying or are creating situations where their root systems have become not as healthy due to exposure from rain or trees next to the river, for example. Sometimes when the river comes up, it washes away, it erodes, and then those trees fall, so we have to be aware of that. But our biggest goal is to respect the space and have people camp amongst it, but not create a situation where we have to take down trees in order to bring more people in.
Do you employ forest ecologists or biologists to do kind of any of that checkup beforehand, just to make sure that nothing happens during a festival if the weather turned?
Yeah, we've actually had a couple of volunteer arborists come out and check out our trees and check to see which ones are healthy, which ones we need to watch out for, which ones may be dying. And it's something we try to do once a year. Usually prior to Valhalla Fest, we have an arborist come out, check out the trees, check to see if there's any trees that need to be taken care of. We've worked with a couple of biologists who inform us, you know, when it comes to the river, where we should have people, where we shouldn't have people, where it might be a concern for erosion and what we need to be aware of and how we can best negate any negative factors of having people on the grounds, because our whole goal is we want people to come into this beautiful forest and respect the space and be within the space without causing any negative reactions.
How have ticket sales been going / where can people get tickets?
Ticket sales have been going really, really good. We actually only have 50% of the tier 3 left, so we only have about 200 tickets left. And you can buy tickets on our website, which is valhallafest.ca. And we will have some tickets at the gate. We stop selling tickets online starting tomorrow, and then they'll only be available at the gate starting Friday.
What is the capacity of Valhalla Fest?
So the full capacity, including guests, staff, volunteers, artists, that sort of thing, is 1,200 people.
Okay, wow. So you're getting close up there then.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to being at the top.
Yeah. Well, good luck on everything this weekend. It sounds like it's going to be magical as usual. So thanks so much for taking time out of your day, because I know that you are just running around trying to get things done. So I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you so much for taking the time. We're always super excited to talk to local radio stations and tell people about us, because we're so excited to have new local artists from Terrace and Smithers and Prince George this year. We've got new headliners from down from Vancouver, so it's really exciting for us.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much.
Have a good one.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.